He decides to become extraordinary, but normal people decide to do extraordinary things. Those were the words that a man named Edmund Hillary said after he was the first person to ascend Mount Everest and come back down. And so today is 514 Church and your leadership all saying, let's take a step. Let's take a step towards something that's bigger than us. Are you guys with me? Are you guys okay with that? I've been talking about this, and this should not be, if we've done half of a job that we're supposed to do, half of the job we're supposed to do as your leadership, this should not be something where I have to convince you, but where you are totally with me, and by this point, we're almost side by side. Might have to bring some of you up here, but that we all move forward together, because if we don't do this together, then it will not get done. We have to totally unite during this season in our church. And sometimes I wrestle, you know, I wrestle with vision, and I wrestle with, what am I doing with my life? Anybody ever been there? What am I doing with my life? What the heck am I doing? You might think that because I'm up here that what I'm doing and how I'm supposed to do it is crystal clear to me. And sometimes even in this season of my life with doing what I believe is so important and so big and so exciting, I have those moments, you know, where I'm going, maybe I should be doing something more important. Maybe I should be doing something that's bigger. Maybe I should be doing something that it's like what I'm doing is one of those things, but like, aren't there some other things that I should be doing? And I was reminded this week, 5 years ago, just about 5 years ago, this did not exist. We were not meeting in this room. On a personal note, I didn't even have any kids. Now I have three. Dear Lord, how much can change in 5 years? But it's just so much has changed. And before the church started, I had this burden. And you could definitely call the burden Matthew 28, you know, go make disciples. That I genuinely had an encounter with Christ and still have one every day. And I want every person, every living being on the earth to know Jesus Christ and follow him wholeheartedly, because I believe it's the best piece of life here on earth. That's it. It's knowing Jesus. Knowing Jesus is it, man. That's it. If you know him, he will change you. And I know that a lot of people that some of us don't like at all have been saying the same thing. And you're like, come on, we've heard that record round and round. And I'm telling you that the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And his mercies are new every stinking day. So just because you've heard it before doesn't mean you've experienced him the way you're supposed to experience him today, because his mercies are new every day. In a season of wanting new, you want something new, you want something fresh, you want something real, follow Jesus daily. That's the big idea, right? When 514 Church started, it was called New Albany Church, and I had this crazy vision that we would do something that was done in such a way that students would be able to engage with the message, the most important message that's ever been spoken. And then because of that, they would go home and tell their parents. And their parents would go, oh, we need to get back in the church. And maybe some of those parents kind of had a faith journey up to that point, but maybe got stalled, or maybe got paused, or maybe they got turned off. But if the students were like, you know what, finally in this place, in this time, I'm reaching out, I need something, then if they could come in and engage in Jesus Christ, who made them, who loves them, who will take them on the best journey they could ever go on, and also give them eternal life as a free gift. When students get that in that raw sense, in that new sense for the first time, that if they had a genuine exposure to Christ, that they would go home and tell their parents, and then the whole family would come to church. And over the years, I've seen that happen time and time again. But on a day like today, when if your leader ever had this, like, maybe a little doubt, like, okay, are you ready? Like, come on, here we go. I'm going to ask the church to give, to be financially invested in 514 Church like you've never had before in order so we can build a building that's just a tool to reach more people. If there's ever been a time when I need to be reminded why we do what we do, it's today. And literally 12 minutes ago, I was in the hallway. And there's a man, Sean, you're out there. Sean and I have been neighbors for 7-8 years. We talked all the time. When I used to live in that neighborhood, we don't anymore, but I talk all the time. I saw him in the hallway. I went up and gave him a hug. I said, how many times have you been here? Because that's like a preacher's trick. You never say, is this your first time? You always say, how many times have you been here? Because if you've been here and I don't know it now, I look like an idiot. Okay? So I said, how many times have you been here? He said, this is my first day. I said, oh my, and he said, my daughter brought me. Okay, so with that, like, I'm pretty much sure we need to keep doing what we're doing. I'm so glad you guys are here. And I'm so glad for all the other people that will be here. And that's all that matters. And Sean, you may never come back, man. And you know what? I love you. It doesn't even, you know me. That's like my style. I always wrestle with how much should I put on you. You know, Sean, I've seen you all the time. Should I tell you everything I believe? I kind of got turned off by that years ago. And so I just decided to love you and be a guy that you could approach and have a relationship with and hope that maybe someday you would end up in this building. And here you are. If you feel like you're framed, you're not. I don't mean any thing by it. I'm just so glad that you're here. And anyone else that's here or has a story similar to that, or just you walked in and you felt loved, because that's what's supposed to happen when you encounter Christ. I believe this is the biggest, most important season of our church. I believe that where faith meets practicality is going to happen like it never has before. And that if you truly follow Jesus, that you are going to get the opportunity to display that by giving financially. That's what this journey is what's going to happen. If you really love Christ, then you are going to get taken on a journey. You're going to be reminded how much you love him and why you love him and what he's asking you to do. And when you do what he asks you to do and you understand why and you say, man, God's given me so much, then what will happen is your lives will change. We will not just have a building. Your lives will change because you will have never until this point trusted God this way with this much practical daily faith. And what will happen is your life will change. Your life will change. My life will change. Others will change. The community will change, all because of what shifts in your heart today. And if you're already there, good for you. But this is going to be the biggest change ever. So if you are new, Sean, thanks for being here. This is really a day of kind of 514 family. Remember last year about this time I had the 514 family meeting. Raise your hand if you remember that. I brought a big leather chair and I wore kind of a patriarch sweater like this maybe. Or I had a red shirt on, red to say like, come on. But today I wore my, like, grandpa sweater because this is a family meeting. And what I'm asking you to do, if you're part of this church, I'm going to ask you to completely engage in this process. I'm going to ask you to break trends and do things you weren't planning on doing. You need to be at church. And so here's a couple things I want to just challenge you with. 100% participation in this. I want everybody involved. And I'm going to talk specifically about what that means, but here's a couple things. I want everyone to be in attendance. And that means that you're fully engaged. That's just a piece of it. You need to be here. You're going to miss. And you can go back and watch online, and if something's got you somewhere else, I totally get that. And I know there's some that cannot be here, but if you can be here, then you need to be here because you're going to miss the family meeting. And it's not going to be that you can just jump online and you can, like, kind of hear what I said and then that helps you. That's not going to get it. What's going to happen in this room is when we, as we all come together, the Spirit of God is going to move in us and shift in our lives, and God's going to speak to you. He's going to speak to me. He's going to do something that might be new and might be fresh that you won't get unless you're here, so you're going to miss out. So I want you all to be here. I want you to make that commitment. Man, can we have some commitment? Can we make that type of yes, okay, I'll be here? That's a big deal for this series if you really want to go out. Halfway through this today, you're going to get this. You're going to get this. And this is the We Can't Journal. And you need this in order to make it through this series. You need it. It will help you. It will change you. It will lead you along the way. Inside this, there are notes, places for notes for every sermon that we're going to do. There are 3 devotionals every single week for each sermon. There is a lot more. All the details and stuff I'm going to go through today is all in this. So you need this. You're going to get it today. And we have also launched, starting this morning, 514church.com/wecant. And everything that's in here is on here, and there's even more on here. And on here, you can interact, you can share your story, you can see what we're all about, and you have videos on there. We have some videos that you're going to see. You do not want to miss that. We want you to jump on there today and check that out. So we want you to have 100% participation. Get the handout. You'll get that today. Jump online. Totally engage with us. And we want everyone to be in a small group experience, because we don't just want to get people in groups because so we can say we have more people in groups. We want everyone to go through the process of having the discussions that are necessary for this type of journey that we're going to go on. And that doesn't happen if you're just sitting in rows and listening. Like, you need to stop and talk to somebody. You need to process what's going on. And so for some of you, you're in a small group already, and we've already made an alternative experience for those that don't have a small group. It's tomorrow night. It's every Monday night after the first 4 weeks of the series at 7:00 at our church offices. And you can go and register at 514church.com/wecantgroups. And when you do that, like, we will put you in a place over there with a great leader at a table, so you can have some discussions and work through all this. And you really need to do that. We have about 40 people that already have, so you're not going to be alone. You're not going to show up by yourself. There's going to be people there that you can talk to that love you and care about you and can walk through this with you. So we want everyone to do that, 100% participation, attendance, going through this book that you're going to get in a minute, and getting into a small group. And then one more thing is, I want everyone by the end of today to make a commitment, to make a commitment. That's what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you today, and we're going to symbolize that by something that we give you today, to make a commitment. And the commitment that you're making today is, I'm making a commitment to make a commitment. I don't know how much I'm going to give. I don't know where it's all going to come from. I don't understand all that you're asking of me, but Joel, I'm in. This is kind of the first step of big faith. I kind of want everyone in this room to put their yes on the table before the question is asked. Would you be willing to do that? You trust God? You trust me? Can you put your yes out there and say, okay, I'm in. Now tell me what that looks like. And let me work through it with you, and let me take you on this journey. I'm asking every one of you, no matter where you are, I don't care if you're in middle school and you're in this room, this giving journey, so we can build a building, is so much bigger than building a building. You need to learn what I'm going to teach over the next 5 weeks, because you are supposed to, in Christ, have a generous disposition. And if you have that, you are living out the gospel for people. And this is an opportunity for practice and growth. If you're in middle school, high school, and for all the rest of us to get closer to Christ. You know, the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. So that means that you have to take a step. That means you have to do something that might make you nervous, where you're depending upon God. Don't you want to go on that journey generally? I'm asking you to make a commitment, to make a commitment, and see where that goes. When we started this We Can't process over a year ago, we really looked at some things that kind of personified the impossible. We said, what are some things that have happened that at the beginning of those journeys seemed like they were too much? And so we talked about the first flight that took place with the Wright brothers. And we looked at that and we went, wow, like, I'm sure at a point, if you think about it, can you just go there for a minute? Like, those guys had the idea of flight. They're looking at birds in the sky, and they're like, I wonder if we could do that. And how many people said, there's no way we could do that. There's no way we're going to fly. We can't do that. We can't fly. And then after they got up in the sky, you just think about the guys that were flying in the air, and man, we're flying. We did it. And sometime one of them was flying at night, and they looked up at the moon. You know, and they went, whoa, I wonder if I could just turn this thing up and keep going and get there. And someone had an idea of flying. Man, I bet if we did the right amount of energy and this and that, I bet we could get here. And everybody said, no way, man, you're crazy. It's the moon. Somebody's had to say that. It is the moon. How are you going to get to the moon? And then, of course, the impossible happened because some people said, wow, what if we went there? And building a building is not impossible. Lots of people have done it. It happens all the time. But what is genuinely impossible is for an entire group of people to put all their faith in Christ in the most practical fashion. That is what We Can't is all about. Could it be that every person, that in my leadership and our church's leadership, that I genuinely get not just an expression of faith, not just a verbal affirmation of faith, not just I'm in, not just a hug, not just a handshake, but a financial commitment that says, I really believe. Because Jesus said, where your treasure is where your heart is, and so here is my heart. That is going to the moon. That is big. And the fruit of that is unbelievable. It's exciting. In any church all over the place, if everybody goes all in, you know what can happen? Buildings, life change, children, all the different things that can happen. Service, feeding the hungry. I mean, the things that can happen if all of us say yes. That's going to the moon. Joel, what's the target for my yes? The first one is this. So here's the deal. I'm going to break this down into two parts. And today's going to be a little longer than normal. I've gone way too long already. I'm just so excited. Can you tell? Two parts. The first part today is what we're giving to. Now, who wants to see the details of this building? I mean, like, are you guys just like, can we go here? Let's go. The first part is what we're giving to, and I'm going to run through it rather quick. It's the details. Over a year ago, we started a process saying we need to find our own location because we need a building to be more effective at what we're doing. We need a permanent location. And so we started down that road, and I had been waiting for 5 years. Man, I got the sun. Woo! Right there. Dang. Right, you see it, and I'm like, whoa. Every time I want to make a point, I just go, We started this process. We're like, wow, you know, like we need to like totally engage in this process, and we started looking at existing buildings, hired realtors to do that. We went and drove all over Columbus. We looked at properties and everything else, and then we said, you know what? We're probably going to have to build a new building. And because there wasn't anything that happened to be where I think it needs to be in order for us to reach the people that we need to reach. And so our leadership team, the staff leadership team at 514 Church, we went on a trip, and we went to like 6 or 7 of the greatest churches in America down south. We went down there, and we looked at them, and we saw all these amazing buildings. We saw these 130,000 square foot buildings that were $300 a square feet. For some of you, that doesn't mean anything, but that's really expensive. And then we went into one building down in Buckhead, which is called Passion City Church. And Passion City Church is led by Louis Giglio. And Louis Giglio, he decided to go ahead, instead of building new, he found an existing building, which was a Home Depot, and he turned it into church. And he said, we're going to meet here. And we all walked into that building and said, this is where we want to be. Like, this is the kind of thing we want to be. You know, it's 2015. We don't want to be in some gingerbread house. you know, with lots of fluff and lots of finishes. We want to come in with concrete and steel, and there's projectors and seats, and there's places for kids and places for adults, and we can all just gather there, and it's warm or cool or whatever it needs to be. And we just thought that utilitarian vibe was the better way to go anyway, because it's a warehouse. You know, if you build a church, then it always looks like a church, but a warehouse is always going to look like a warehouse. People are going to walk into a warehouse and 100 years ago, it's a warehouse. They haven't changed. And so buildings are not what the church is about. It's about the people inside of them. It's about the movement of God. So really what you really need is just a box for people to meet in that accomplishes the mission, that tells stories through technology, because that's part of our vision, and that gathers people together. And so we said, this is where we want to go. And so we said, let's do this. We're going to have to build new. There's nothing around where we want to be, so we're going to have to build new. And so we started to have this dialogue about how many seats. Now, I could literally talk to you for 3 hours about how many seats we need to have. People have built new churches with 2,000 seats. People have built new churches with 700 seats. People have built new churches with 500 seats. In this room right now, there's not quite 500. And so we said, well, how do we do this? How do we grow? What's the next step? Some people build churches with a lot of new seats, and then they never quite fill them out because church attendance patterns are different with online and all the different things that are happening. And so we tried to find that medium, and what we came to was 1,000 seats. 1,000 seats in our permanent location. You double the size of what we have right now, and then we're in our own space so we can have multiple services. 1,000 seats over the course of a Sunday gives us the genuine opportunity to reach 4,000 people in one location. So we thought, that's probably a good starting point. Let's see what that is. And so when you look at 1,000 seats, it just starts to tell stories about every other piece that needs to happen. It kind of communicates. That's the beginning, because 1,000 seats translates to how much room and how much parking and how much land. And so 1,000 seats really translated to 50,000 square feet. If you know anything, it's like maybe the size of a Target, maybe a little smaller, and 8 acres in order to have 400-plus parking spots for 1,000 people in 50,000 square foot building, then we said we need to have 8 acres. And so we have had a great relationship and dialogue with New Albany Company since the day the church started. We actually lease our current office building from them, and we have a great relationship with them. And some people on the board here at 514 Church are great friends with the president, vice president of New Albany Company. And so we started to work with them on land because there was a location that we just wanted to be in. I always wanted to be within a stone's throw of the freeway, and I wanted to be closer to 270 than we are right now. And so I've always been thinking, praying, every time I drive by Hamilton Road and 161, I'm going, this is where we need to be. Look at all this land. Look at all this opportunity. We need to be here. And so we started with New Albany Company. They own a bunch of that ground. And so we started to look at this area that's right here. And all of us that are directionally impaired, north is up. If you're local, then this right here is LA Fitness. Raise your hand if you kind of know where I'm talking about, right? Okay, we're pretty good. New 161, old 161, Hamilton Road, the 5150, Mount Vernon Nazarene, satellite campus is right here. And what's going to happen, and this is Hamilton Road, and down here, it's like around here, Captain Car Wash, and then the Preserve, all right? And so what is going to happen is they are getting ready, and you see them moving trees over there right now. They're getting ready to extend this road through here. Now, this cross-section in Columbus is unbelievable. 80,000 cars, 80,000 people a day drive by this. 80,000. It goes up by 20,000 the further east you go. Or if you come west, it goes up. So at 62, it's 40,000 people a day. At New Albany Road, it's 60,000 people a day. And at Hamilton Road, it's 80,000 people a day. And when I heard that statistic, I was like, we need to be right here. On top of all of that, regardless of how many people are going to be driving by this location, they're putting a Target right there. Who doesn't want to go to Target? It's the greatest place on earth, besides 514 Church. They're putting one right here. So what they're going to do is they're going to bring this through here, and we are looking at 8 acres right here. Isn't that cool? So we're super excited about that. We are in like the fourth round of a letter of intent, and I believe that before the year is out, we will be in contract on this land. Isn't that awesome? Yeah. So exciting. So who wants to see what this thing looks like? We have worked for years with Kaiser Design Group, an amazing group that's here at our church. Dan Kaiser is a member of our church. He's on our board, and he's a great designer. He did the remodel of the 97 East Main Street. So if you've ever been in our offices, everyone that comes in there goes, "What the heck? This place is awesome." That's because of Dan Kaiser. And so when we started this process of land and building, we did a little bit of an unconventional pattern. We grabbed builder, designer, team, and built it from the beginning and started out together. And so we've been able to work closely with all the people involved from the very beginning to get exactly what we believe we need. And so this is your first look at just a digital rendering of 514 Church. Yeah. I mean, it's like maybe not as exciting as I thought. Some of you kids out there are going like, "I can draw that on my..." No. Like, this is a very exciting building. It has a brick facade that's painted. It's going to sit in a very, very cool, commercial slash kind of pedestrian piece of that ground and that area, that development that's going to happen over there. New Albany's got its hands all over it. It's not going to be quite like Market Street. It's not going to be quite like the new Gateway where the Whole Foods is at Easton, but it's going to be very, very beautiful, and it's going to be a great spot for us to be, especially to build a church that doesn't look like a church, but that is a church and that reaches lots of people. So just let me take you through this real quick. There's another shot at the beginning. Brick, steel, glass, concrete. That's it. Utilitarian warehouse. That's what it's going to feel like. That's what it's going to look like. Here's the inside. If you go into the lobby of those doors that we were just looking at, as you can see, it's just concrete floors, steel beams, exposed ceilings. And right now we're calling the main venue the 514 Theater. And so this is a bird's eye view. Real quickly, I'll just break down the different spots of this. All this will be on the website and it's in your handout. The yellow is the theater. Green is the students. Blue is 514 Kids, and red is the administration. And so we're going to have everything we need all in one location. As you can see, it's just a big rectangular footprint that has everything we need. I'm so excited about this, and I'll tell you a couple specific things that really get me excited. The first one we're going to look at is the 514 Theater. This is 1,000 seats. It has zero bad lines of sight. It's going to be an amazing place for people to come and gather and experience who God is. Flat floors all across there so we can have round table meetings. And I should never say this. I should never try to pitch this way, but it will be a good place for weddings too. But it's going to be really expensive. Just kidding. It's going to be a great multi-purpose venue for all of us to meet in, all of us to be in. There's some theater seating on the back. There's amazing green room in the back here for the band with offices and a production room that actually connects to our offices. Can I just tell you how excited our team is to have everything on campus? They don't get to like do rehearsal till they come in here on Sunday morning and get stuff set up. Don't they do an amazing job under the circumstances? It's going to be a whole other thing, and we are working with an amazing company to help us make this an amazing digital experience. There's going to be panoramic pictures, and it's going to be a beautiful, beautiful building. The next spot I want to show you is probably the most important spot, but it's the student spot. And as you can see at the bird's eye view, it has a place for dynamic worship and a place for small groups, which that's our vision, to get everybody into a large group and a small group scenario. And so that's that. It's beautiful. That's kind of looking there. And then kids is very similar. It has an amazingly well thought out yet simple to navigate security ingress or egress and regress point so that parents can go in. They kind of go around walls in the nursery, and the kids portion is all behind that wall. And then here's a little overhead view of our office space, which is also going to serve as a meeting and gathering space. There'll be a kitchen in there so that we can have some time to meet and greet people during after church, and so that our staff has a wonderful place to be and live during the weeks. So that's those are the details. Those are the details of what it's going to look like. Those are the details of where it's going to be. And now I'm going to tell you how much it's going to cost. And it was so funny when we started to put all these details together, and it's just unbelievable. I just thought, this is a Christmas miracle. Because when we put all this together, all the numbers together, it actually added up to $11,514 exactly. And I thought, that's a sign from God. Don't buy that. It didn't come up to $514. It was, I actually made that in there. That's for this one pillow that I want in my office. And I made it get to that, okay? $11 million to buy that ground to build that building. $11 million. This right here, when I first looked at where we want to be and how much it was going to cost, I went, we can't do that. We can't. We can't. I was in the office going, we can't. We got to stop. We got to think differently. We got to do. I just kept saying, we can't. And every single time I thought about how much it was going to cost and how much it was going to take all of us involved to get this thing accomplished, I kept saying, we can't. We can't. And it just turned into a series title. We can't, we can't, we can't, we can't. Because when I think about the cost, when I think about the families, when I think about the location, when I think about all the different parts, I go, we can't do that. I have a genuine knee-jerk reaction to prayer. It scares me. We can't do that. God, help us do that. Help me trust you. And then faith builds. And I've shared this with a lot of you already. And every one of you goes, oh yeah, let's go. And it's been blowing my mind. When people look at the location, like, oh yeah, are you sure it's big enough? That's the number one question I get. Is it big enough? I'm like, well, we can make it bigger. That's not a problem. It's just with everything we've tried to do, this is the number where we are. And man, for us to accomplish this, we are all going to have to take our own step of faith. A big one. A real one. I'm going to talk about this over the next couple weeks, but we're doing something called a one fund. And all that means, and I'll explain it again, is that everyone is going to give to the same fund. There's not a building fund and then regular church. It's one fund. So you're going to take, if you give already, your regular giving, and then add whatever additional you want to do for this. And it goes to the same place. And if you don't give, when you start giving, it goes towards the amount that we need, the $11 million. Okay? So I'll be talking about that and coaching you through that for the next 5 weeks. Right now you're receiving your handout. This is your 514. We're going to take a quick little kind of pause here. So grab one of these things, put it in your hand, and you can kind of start to flip through it. The reason that we're not passing this out till now is that in the front page of it, the front section of it, are a lot of the details that I just shared. So we wanted to wait until you saw those before you can take this home and just digest it by yourself a little slower. And so go ahead and just kind of flip through that thing. You're going to see mission, vision, all the different things of why we're doing and what we're doing. And most importantly, this piece is for you to make sure that you go on the personal journey that you need to go on in order to trust God in a new way. And so I want everyone to flip through it quickly. There's some scenarios there, some frequently asked questions, some vision. And then I want everyone to end up on page 31, because starting today on page 31, there's a place for notes, and we have some pens that are going around if you need a pen. We want you to take notes on what I'm about to talk about, because it's the most important piece of what we're doing. You see, part one is what we're giving to. It's the details. But part two is way more important. It's what you're giving from. And we're telling you today that in order for us to accomplish this huge vision, to reach families, to not have any debt on $11 million, which is my goal and will be forever, I will sing that song. I want us to raise all the money. I believe all the money exists. It's just currently in your bank accounts. And some of you got to move it over to our bank account. Like, that's just part of it. It's all there. It's just we got to, like, organize it. I believe that that's where we're going to. So I want to talk about what's going to take to get to that point. I want you to take some notes, because it's a proven fact that when you write something down, you remember it easily. And then after that, there are three devotionals every week, a Monday, a Wednesday, and a Friday, that we took a long time to write so that you can process this throughout the week. That, along with small groups, along with taking this to small groups, should be more than you need to process through this. We've done everything we can to help bring you on this journey. I want to share something really quick with you about We Can't. In Matthew 14, Jesus is really upset and disgruntled because his cousin, John the Baptist, has been beheaded. And he's kind of alone, and he's kind of a little bit, if he was ever like afraid in his flesh, that was this moment. And then he kind of goes out on a boat, and people follow him. And when the boat comes back around, there's a bunch of people sitting on a hill, and they've been waiting for him. So he starts to teach and heal and do all this amazing stuff. And he gets really tired towards the end of the day, and the people get really tired, but the disciples are like, hey, we need to feed him. And he's like, well, you give him something to eat. And that's when he took like very few loaves of bread and fish and fed 5,000 people. And all the people eat, and then they were full, and then there was 12 baskets left over. It's this amazing miracle. When Jesus did that miracle, it was really the beginning of him getting the word out. If you can see, leadership cuts off the head of John the Baptist, and it's like, ooh, the following of Christ and this new way is losing. Then Jesus feeds 5,000, which is the first multimedia, multi-level marketing campaign in the kingdom of God, where 5,000 people, they eat and they're full, and then they go tell everyone about it. We went to this thing, there was no food, and then everybody ate. It was the best buffet of all time. I'm in. Jesus fed me. And so they go and they share, and now the kingdom of God is growing. What happens is Jesus then sends his disciples out onto a boat so that he can go back up onto a mountain and pray, because he's still working through what God is doing through this season of his life. In the middle of the night, when the disciples are far away, he decides to go and meet them. And he knows that they're out far. He can't even see them from the beach at the Sea of Galilee. He can't even see them. And there's a little bit of a storm, and it's pretty late at night, 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. And it's so cool. What Jesus does is he says, I want to go be with my disciples in the midst of this time that they're on the boat. And Jesus does something that is so cool, and you can read this 100 times. I grew up, you read Jesus walking on water. You've heard Jesus walked on water. It's cliche to talk about Jesus walking on water. We've all heard about Jesus walking on water. But the coolest part about Jesus walking on water is that of all the things that Jesus could choose to do to go and be with the disciples, he decides to walk on water. Now, later, we see that Jesus, when he wanted to hang out with his disciples and they were in this upstairs room and the door was locked, that he just went through walls. He's like, oh, I want to show up right there, right now. Boop. He could have met them anyway. He could have orchestrated the wind and the waves. We find out later that Jesus tells the waves to stop and they stop, the wind to stop and they stop. So Jesus could have like orchestrated a current in the Sea of Galilee to bring the boat over to the side, and he could have walked on the boat. But no. Jesus decides to walk on water. Can we just go there for a second? Man, I got to go see those guys. Oh, I'm just going to keep walking. Just keep walking right off the beach onto the water. He just starts walking out on the water. What are you doing, man? This is crazy. You're walking on the water. What we find out is that when he's walking on water, he's not walking on the water to show how powerful he is, because walking on water for Jesus is like walking on regular ground for you and me. It's normal. He can do anything he wants. He's God. It's not a big deal for Jesus to be walking on water. Jesus didn't walk on water just to show off. Jesus walked on water to show you and me that if you trust him, you can meet him in that. That's why he did it, because he's like, oh, I want them to do something cool. And he's just smart. He knows this would probably be cool to them, right? Don't you think if I walk on water, this would be cool? Like everyone would jump in. This is cool. So he goes walking on the water, and it says this in Matthew 14, 26 through 29. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. It's a ghost. It's a ghost, they said. What in the world? And they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, don't worry. Don't stop. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Take courage. It's me. Peter yells out, dude, if it's you, tell me to come onto the water. Just think, I know that Jesus, when he walked on the water, he's like, I bet if I walk on water, that I'll get that idiot Peter to walk out here with me. I bet he'll ask. This will be fun. Tell me to come out. He said, come. Jesus said, come on, come out. Then Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus, let me break this down for you real quick. When the disciples saw him, they said, it's a ghost. Now, the disciples grew up on the water. A lot of them were fishermen. They had never been in an experience like this before. And when they saw the ghost, they were like, huh? What? No. What is going on? And in that moment, Jesus says, I want to tell you that I am not here for all of this to make sense to you. In other words, Jesus said that Jesus is walking on water and the disciples are like, this doesn't make sense. Something's not right. This has to be a mirage or a ghost or something. And in that moment, Jesus is going, that's right. I didn't come here for it all to make sense to you. Because if it makes sense to you, then you won't trust me. Because if you have it all figured out, then you don't need me. I'm not here to make sense to you. I'm here to take you on a new journey. Yes, it doesn't make sense. And you know what? Jesus, listen, you guys, will sometimes ask you to do things that don't make sense. Practically speaking, here's the budget. Giving to the church doesn't make sense. I don't get it. Jesus goes, I didn't come here to make sense. I came here to have you trust me and go on an amazing journey. Jesus says, don't worry. Don't be afraid. Actually, take courage. The opposite of being afraid, don't be afraid. Be brave. Be courageous. It's me. It is me. And in this moment, Jesus brings this amazing opposition. In life, you are going to either pick trusting me or living a life of fear and doing it your own way. You see, staying in the boat for those guys and understanding who Jesus was this idea of fear. Jesus is out there. I can't go out there. That's a ghost. I'm afraid. I don't understand what to do with my life. That's the picture in the moment. I don't know what's going on. What is God asking of me? Who is God? This doesn't make sense. I'm afraid. And Jesus goes, you get to choose in every moment to trust me or to go by your natural instincts, to go by what you see at face value. And God has told us that if you want to grow, then you have to choose faith. And so Peter does what we say, he says, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come out onto the water. We don't think it's you, we're afraid, but if it is you, call me out. If it's you, everybody say, if it's you, if it's you, if it's you. In other words, this is what Peter said. I'd like to join you if it's really you, because I can't without you. I can't without you. You see, the purpose of we can't is to get every person, I promise, it's not for you to give your money to the church. It's for me to give you an opportunity to trust God in a new way, which will be the greatest experience you could ever have. It's a gift to go and live a life that would be impossible unless God was with you. You can't do it on your own. You have to listen, you have to follow, you have to trust, you have to pick faith over fear. I can't do this without you, but if it is you, I can. Jesus said, oh, you hit the nail on the head. It's me. With me, you can. Come on out here. And Jesus, with this one word, he says, just think about it, he says, come. Come. Same thing as saying, trust me like you never have before. Trust me like you never have before. Remember when I just told you, give them something to eat and you didn't have enough food and you did it? Did we learn anything there? Now. Trust me like never before. A new level, a new step, a new journey. And in that moment, Peter got down out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. Here is the challenge for us all. Are you going to go through this season of our church, if you call this your church, and are you going to have an experience where you trusted God like you never have before? financially, with generosity, in a way that doesn't make sense, in a way that might scare you, but you choose faith? And are you going to give yourself the opportunity to, when 2 years from now is over and we're in a new building, and whether you, I'm talking to every person individually at the same time, whether you trust God the way you're supposed to or not, this is going to happen because I believe God is already moving and he's going to make this happen. He's doing it. So it's really just about whether you're going to be involved and you're going to trust God the way that you should and get to that point in 3 years where you go and you say something like this: remember that time when we walked on water? Because the beautiful part of this story is after Peter and Jesus are out there, he's walking on water, then the wind and the waves, they scare Peter and he starts to sink, and Jesus grabs his hand. He's like, why are you afraid, man? I mean, just because it's wind and waves, you're walking on water. Don't you think I can solve all these issues? Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Come on. You just walked to me. And then it says they got back in the boat. And in that moment, when they're out there in the midst of the wind and the waves, and he holds Jesus' hand, it's a little awkward, right? It's like a dude hug. All right, I'm holding your hand. Jesus, will you hold my hand? To walk on water, you gotta hold my hand. And they're walking on water. And they have a moment where Jesus and Peter walk together by faith. You see, after this is all done, you're gonna get to say, you know what? I learned to walk with Jesus. I learned to trust him in a new way. Something big happened in my life because I depended on him like I never had before. And then God used all of that to build this building that's reaching lots of people. But really what happened for me is my faith grew. My faith grew, man. I trusted. God showed up. God did something for me. I thought there's no way. And he met me on the water. And he blew my mind and changed my life. You trust God this way, and you're going to get to have that recollection. Big faith means steps are taken that wouldn't be taken without total dependence on Jesus. Are you ready for that? I read a book about a month ago, just came out, and we had already got all this done for We Can't, and I was like, whoa, like this is so cool, because this leader, Brian Houston of Hillsong Church, he talked about in the first chapter about Peter walking on water, and he talked about being afraid and how we try to make this all work in our own minds and how we can't do that. We have to trust God, and this is what he said. He said, so often we fail because we get stuck in our heads, tangled in our thoughts, mired in speculation and probability, grasping to make life work any way we can. We want to walk on water. We want to trust God. But we insist on trying to do it under our own power. We say, I'm going to do this my own way. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to trust God. I'm going to trust me. If we put our trust in something else, technology to control the weather, money for a bigger boat or life vest, just in case, then maybe we can figure it out. We can do it our own way. We can do this God thing our own way, but we can't. We can't figure it out our own way. The moment we think we can is when we take our eyes off Jesus, and that's when we begin to sink. When you do this, it's going to be because God sustains you. It's going to be because God gives you the power. It's going to be because God says, here, trust me, and I will keep you out of distraction, and I will keep you out of the wind and the waves and sinking. I will support you. But you got to step out. You have to step out in big faith in order for him to meet you in that place. Now, we've been having this discussion at our church for over a year, and I've had the opportunity to sit down with some of you and already take you on kind of a journey of trusting God with We Can't. And we have someone that has already made their commitment, and there's some others that have made their commitment to this thing already. And I just want to share with you what happens when you trust God with big faith, and you step out, and you watch him do something that only he can do. These two tell the story better than I can.
We love about 514 is that our child and soon children, when he gets older, will learn everything they need to know about Jesus Christ and how he loves them.
We just love the friends and family nature of it. Our kids, like Kristen said, they come home always talking about Jesus, knowing the Bible, and we have a great experience of worship ourselves. So it's just a great place to be.
Well, we both grew up in the church, and we do believe that is biblical to give. And then, the church can't function without giving. The church has to have its givers, and we believe that 514 is doing amazing things, not only in New Albany, but everywhere around Columbus. When we were praying about our We Can't commitment number, we were praying separately, and when we were finished, I feel like the Lord really gave me a crazy number for us. And we got out our calculators, and we were trying to go through the numbers that were comfortable. And I knew that we weren't going to go for the number that I feel like the Lord gave us, because it was just too uncomfortable for us. And I just kept praying, Lord, if it's going to be this number, then he has to agree with me. He has to be the one to decide it as well. So we kept saying each number, X, Y, Z, and I just kept agreeing, okay. And then out of nowhere, Eric wrote down the number that I was praying about and that I really feel like the Lord gave us. And we are scared out of our mind, because it still is a very crazy number for us to achieve. And not knowing what's going to happen over the next 2 years, where our jobs stand and children and things like that. But the Lord is going to take care of us over the next 2 years. And I'm excited to see it play through.
Kristen mentioned, going through on the calculator and looking at numbers. And all the numbers that I kept punching in and playing with were feasible. The stuff that we could do. The number we wrote down and the number that was in her mind, we can't do it on our own. It's crazy. It's just time. It's time. Faith is being certain of things you can't see, no matter what that time is going to be. It could be 5 minutes. It could be 5 years. Obedience is just following. And life change, you never know when it's going to happen. You can't always prepare for life change. It's not our time. It's God's. We can't control the time. It's all God's time.
We Can't is all about faith for us, big faith for us. We know that without God's provision, we cannot do this. And we have never stepped out in faith like this before. We have been comfortable, and it's time to step out.
God's never changed. He's always been there day in, day out. He's not going to change. He's promised to be there through all of it. The change has to be in us. Kristen talked about the number being scary for us and uncomfortable, and it is. But there's a lot of stuff that God did for us that wasn't comfortable for him. And so us just stepping out in faith, just to be like him, to give back more of what he's given to us, there's no telling where it goes. There's a chance for it to be really big, and to see big things, you just got to have big faith. And moving outside of ourselves and truly walking in what he's got, walking in the plans that he has, because on our own, we just can't.
I want you guys to stand up. And I'm going to ask you to do one more thing before you leave today, and that is to make that commitment to making a commitment. And so we have these carabiners, and this is just a symbol of trusting God. If you're climbing a mountain, and I don't know this from personal experience at all, but you put your faith in something like this to get through. And we want you guys to just take that first step, right, of faith. Something actually happening, something physical, a representation of your belief that God is calling you to be a part of this. And so I want you to, during this song, when the bridge starts, if you are committing to this We Can't campaign, I want you to symbolize that by stepping forward and grabbing one of these and then going back to your seat so we can finish the song. But When you step out, you're not saying, this is how much I'm giving, I'm all in. All you're saying is, I am going to make a commitment, and I'm going to pray, and I'm going to take a step of faith and see what God does in my life and in my heart. So these will be middle and side and back side. So there's four stations. So you can, if you're in the front, you'll turn around. If you're in the back, you'll come forward or turn around. And you're going to step out right when the bridge comes. So as soon as Amanda starts singing, Spirit lead me. Spirit lead me where my trust is without borders. I want you guys to come on. Can we just for a minute, just have a moment where you step out of the boat, walk on water and say, okay, God, lead me, show me, I'm in. I don't know what that means, but I'm in. And if you've already made your commitment, I want you to do that again, to just be part of this moment with us, to say, yeah, we're in, we're all in. So I want everyone that wants to step out to take a step out. The song is called Oceans. Oceans. An opportunity for big faith.